Our scripture this morning comes from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, we read a brief section from near the end of the letter of 1 John. I'll forgive you if you didn't catch all that was happening in just one reading. In these first five verses of chapter 5, John is making some of the same points that he's made throughout his letter, while also introducing some new ideas, all while writing in a somewhat circular pattern that isn't the easiest to follow. It's clear that he's approaching the end of his writing and he's trying to get all of his important ideas out in the open, even if he isn't doing it in the most concise argument. So since it's just five verses, we're going to look at this passage verse by verse this morning. Because I think by slowing it down and taking it apart a bit, we can better understand the message that John is trying to get across. A message of how we best love God and love others. So let's start at the beginning with verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Now there are kind of two parts to this, right? First, that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. This is John continuing this argument he's made through the letter against these false teachers in his community who were saying that Jesus wasn't really human, that he wasn't really the living Son of God. So what John is saying here is that you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, which means that you believe that Jesus was fully human, but also fully God, and that he lived here on earth, and that he really died, and then was really resurrected, and then is really alive now. The people who believe that are children of God. This isn't so much a test from John, but an assurance for his people and for us. Do you want to know for sure that you have salvation, that you are part of God's family? Well, all you need to do is answer the question, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? If so, then you can know for certain that you are a child of God. Now, the second part of this verse is, everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Now, we could get really tied down into whether or not that's actually true in our world, but what John is talking about here is not human parent-child relationships, but rather that as children of God, God is our parent. And if we're going to claim to love God, then we have to love God's children, which means other people. John, he said something similar to this earlier in the letter in chapter 4 when he writes, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. It's the same idea here. If you're going to love God, you're going to have to love other people too. Moving on then to verse 2, John writes, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. What John is doing here is that he's taking the argument from the last verse and he's flipping it. How do we know we love God? By loving God's children. How do we know we love God's children? By loving God. It's actually this kind of perfect circle. You love God, and then you love others. You love others, and then you love God over and over again. And then the last words of this verse that tells us that we love God by loving His by obeying His commandments. Now this idea is going to keep going as we move throughout the next verse, so maybe just a little teaser, let me say this. Love for John and also for us as Christians, it's not just a feeling or an emotion or nice thoughts. Love is an action, an activity, a way of life. Following God's commandments means that we actually do something. We actually live out our love. So yes, have correct beliefs. Believe that Jesus is really the Christ, but also love now. Live out your beliefs by loving others and by following God's commandments. This all brings us to verse 3. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. So like we just said, there's this connection between loving God and obeying God. We follow the commandments of God not just because they're rules, but because we love God and we want to serve and follow and please Him. This is actually a really important distinction. We don't follow God's commandments because we're trying to be right. We follow God's commandments out of love. So if you think that you're following one of God's commandments and it's causing you to act in ways that are not loving towards another person, like you're excluding them or shaming them or demeaning them, then you aren't actually following one of God's commandments. Because following God's commandments always lead us to actions of love for God and for others. And when we follow the commandments of God, the commandments that include things like love your neighbor as yourself, we're loving God's children. And like John tells us, this isn't burdensome. I want us to think about that for a bit. What does not burdensome mean? Well, let's get this out of the way first. Not burdensome does not mean easy. God's commandments are not easy. You already know that. Often, it's really difficult to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and it's really difficult to love your neighbor as yourself. So don't hear this and think, well, I must be doing something wrong because God's commandments aren't easy for me to follow. Because what is not burdensome? Well, a burden is something that weighs you down, that keeps you from living life as it should be. To not be burdened is to be free, is to be full, is to have a certain lightness of life. God's commandments are not burdensome. They're freeing. Following God's commandments, while not easy, it's a more freeing way to live. When I was growing up, we had a unique Mother's Day tradition in my family. Every year, we would blindfold my mom and put her in the car and drive her all around until we arrived at a restaurant, and we would make her guess what restaurant we had arrived at to eat dinner. I'm not sure how it started, but it became something we did year after year, an important enough tradition that once I was up at a children's sermon, and the pastor asked us what we were doing for our moms for Mother's Day, and I said, we're going to blindfold her and drive her around. It was then I learned that wasn't a common tradition. This trip generally included really fun things like donuts in a parking lot somewhere, or my dad breaking various traffic laws, like stopping in the middle of the street to make my mom think we were at a stop sign that we weren't at. Now, we had one rule, one commandment, let's say, for today's sake during this trip. It could easily be summed up in the phrase, loose lips sink ships. That meant you couldn't laugh when Dad did something funny on the driving route. You also weren't allowed to comment on your surroundings. We lived in a really small town, so even a, hey, look at so-and-so over there could give away exactly where we were. Or how long has that business been around? Or is this even legal? This was always a challenge for my sister and I. When we were little, it was all just too exciting, and then as we got older and we were in college, because we did this for a really long time, we didn't get out and about too much in our own hometown, and so you would see something new and you would want to say something about it. This commandment was not easy, but it was also not burdensome. It was freeing. It was better to drive mom around blindfolded if you followed the commandment and kept your mouth shut, because it was more fun if she didn't know where we were. And I think that's what John is talking about here, with the commandments not being burdensome. Because yes, following the commandments of God is not always easy, but it's never burdensome. It's always a more freeing way to live. But John's not finished with this idea. He continues it in verse 4 when he writes, "For whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith." So then, according to John, not only are following God's commandments the way that we love God's children, and not only are they not burdensome but freeing, God's commandments also allow us to conquer the world. Now, I know that sounds a little bit intense, right? Like, how are we, a group of people here in suburban Cleveland, even with people joining us from outside suburban Cleveland online, how are we supposed to conquer the world? It just sounds like some plan that's apt to go wrong. So then, what is John talking about when he says that whatever is born of God conquers the world? Well, remember from the beginning of this morning, we're born of God when we believe in Christ. So all believers are conquering the world. But what does that really mean? Because unfortunately, in our world today, the word conquer is most often associated with some sort of violent takeover. And so we might be rightfully worried or uncomfortable with this idea of conquering the world. But a violent takeover isn't what John has in mind here. A better word that's in other translations might be overcome. True children of God overcome the world. As you all know, there's a lot of not good stuff in our world. There's evil and hurt, pain, trials, and injustice. There's also just a lot of apathy and cynicism and neglect. And so perhaps what John is getting at here is that as true children of God, and remember, true children of God love others by following God's commandments, that this love is what will conquer the world. As children of God, we're called to follow God so fiercely and love others so boldly that they can't help but be drawn into God's family. We conquer the world not through force, not through shame, not through hatred, but through bold love and obedience to God. And then it's with a question that John concludes this section of his letter. In verse 5, he writes, "Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Only those that believe in Jesus, those that believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God, can conquer the world. In many ways, John has ended up right where he began, with a call to believe. It would actually, at this point, be appropriate just to go back to verse 1 and start reading all over again. Because for John, faith is kind of circular. Believe in Jesus, be a child of God, follow God's commandments, love all of God's children, overcome the world with love. This is only possible if you believe in Jesus. So believe in Jesus, be a child of God, follow God's commandments, love all of God's children. This is only possible if you believe in Jesus. So believe in Jesus. And on and on and on we could go. But that's all that John's really saying here, and really in the whole letter. We believe in Christ. And we don't just believe, we love God and we follow God's commandments. And these commandments, they bring us freedom and joy and hope to overcome the world with our love. And then the world knows God. Not because we forced them to, or because we argued our point so well, but because we love so boldly and fiercely that the world saw the truth that life as a child of God is the best life that one could have. So believe, love, obey, and conquer the world. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the unending and unfailing love that you show to each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to believe. Help us to believe in Christ so that we might follow your commandments and that we might love others and love you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.